Hey, what's up? It's your pal EZ with another amazing partner for the Eric Zane Show podcast, the Eufy Video Lock. Oh my gosh. Smart lock, 2K cam, and doorbell 3-in-1 triple security. You got everything in one device, all right? Rather than install piecemeal, hoping that you got this app, that it's going to work okay in that app, and oh my God. This is not just for security, but also for convenience. No more worrying about losing keys. And you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated camera. So, you know, like they all have their codes. They walk up to the door. They punch it in. The door unlocks. In they go. And, of course, it's a video camera. So it's all there. You can see who shows up at your door. This is fantastic. We live in a golden age for home security. And the Eufy Video Lock is the top of the heap, okay? You can go to eufyofficial.com/videolock for more information. This thing is easy to install. The setup, all you need is a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling or anything like that. All the keyless entry components make it so fantastic. 0.3-second fingerprint recognition. Amazing. No battery anxiety. You've got the ultimate, I don't know what it is, super lithium whatever, that keeps this thing powered for a long, long time. No monthly fee on this, unlike other brands that do that. They just bend you over and charge you a monthly fee. I love the Eufy Video Lock. Get to eufyofficial.com/videolock. eufyofficial.com/videolock. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe DeRosa with Aaron Putnam. Back Alley Comedy Club coming up Saturday, June 8th, 8 p.m. start. DeRosa and Putnam are awesome. Putnam is your feature. DeRosa is your headliner. DeRosa used to do this awesome podcast with Bill Burr. Very, very funny. He's been in the game for extended time. He's part of that whole bunch of guys with this type of like East Coast mentality and sensibility. Extremely funny. DeRosa also plays the crooked vet on Better Call Saul. You remember this great recurring character. You see him talking to Odenkirk, Bob Odenkirk, Saul, on that show, which I love. My gosh. So when I heard I had a chance to talk to Joe DeRosa, I was like, let's do this, man. It's going to be a terrific time in Muskegon. And I had a chance to speak with him as he called me in the Back Alley Comedy Club studio. Here it is. Joe DeRosa, welcome to the Eric Zane Show podcast. How are you?
I'm well, man. How are you doing?
No complaints, no complaints. What? How's the day shaking out for you? You're in L.A., right?
Unfortunately, yes.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, you're originally from the Philadelphia area. Do you hate living out there?
With every fiber of my being.
Damn it. That sucks. I am so sorry to hear that.
It's fine. It's, you know, I like L.A. I hate Hollywood.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an important distinction. It's like living in D.C. If you work in politics, you would think D.C. sucked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
yeah,
D.C. is actually a great city. So that's kind of how I am with L.A.
There was just something on Dr. Drew. He's complaining that there's a public health emergency in Los Angeles with people who are like down on their luck, like diseases like bubonic plague are spreading, and you know, the whole measles thing, and it's like this crazy public health emergency. I just read it. In fact, I thought of you. I go, Jesus, he lives out there. I wonder if he's heard of such a thing. Is that story circulating in the local circles?
I have not heard that story.
Yeah, though. There's what the fuck? I mean,
that's crazy, man. I mean, I'm not. I got to be honest. I'm not surprised. There's, I mean, you know, bubonic plague is a shocking term to hear in any context. But I'm not that surprised. It's a very, you know, people say that New York is dirty. LA is really dirty, like, and a lot of it's got to do with, like, you know, there's a decent amount of surrounding nature, so like literally dirt blows in to the city.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I mean, like crazy, and you couple that with normal city stuff like garbage and litter and whatever, and you know, rodents and vermin and all that stuff. It's like, I'm not that surprised that that the bubonic plague is maybe making its comeback here to start here.
Did you ever think that you would ever have a discussion about bubonic plague in and around where you live on any podcast at any one time in your life?
No, and no. I also never thought I'd be stuck living in this city. So,
yeah, hey. I know it. You know what's funny? I recently went to New York just to kind of visit, and I can't tell you how in love I am with that city. It's to me, when you visit, the whole aspect of you don't need a car. In fact, you're foolish to have one. Is really appealing to me. You know?
Yeah, I. You know, it's funny. I lived there for 10 years. I had a car the last two. No, one, sorry. The last 1 year that I was there, I had a car. And it was an interesting change of pace, but I was also living in Brooklyn, and you could park it on the street, and you could kind of get by with it on the day-to-day. So it was interesting having a vehicle. But, you know, New York's great. I mean, and look, it's, you know, I'm not one of these people that says New York is flawless.
Right.
Of course. Majestic, and L.A. is awful. It's like, you know, New York's got its things that'll drive you crazy, too.
Sure.
But I definitely miss it. I definitely miss spending more of my time there than less.
Yeah, it's ridiculous that something so large could have so much charm. You often hear the word charm about, you know, little teeny tiny hamlets and things like that. But when there's so many different neighborhoods in a block by block area, it's like, just, you know, choose whatever you want to visit. It's, I don't know.
It's great.
You know, it's just something just different around every corner. Once you get off the beaten path, though, you got to get away from the tourists, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's, you know, New York's like anywhere else. It's got its, you know, it's got its starter borough, which I think is Manhattan, where the first time you're there, the first time you go visit New York, or the first couple times, you know, you go to Manhattan, and it's a lot of stuff is just kind of laid out for you there, and it's very nice and whatever. And then as you become more familiar, you start to venture out into the other boroughs and start to find, you know, the true hidden gems in that city, you know, because they are there. You just got to find them, you know.
Was it showbiz or a girl that got you out west?
It was a girl named Showbiz.
Oh.
The Jeez. Worst woman I ever met.
Yeah, what a whore. What a bitch.
Yeah.
When was the last time what was the most recent time, and you don't have to give me details, that Showbiz made you think, I'm done. I've had it.
Oh. Probably about 20 minutes ago.
What the fuck?
Yeah. It usually pops. It pops into my head about once an hour.
God damn it!
On average,
just setbacks. When you get so many setbacks, it's like when you get a little win. It's like, you know, it's like being a person who's been starved, given like a piece of rice.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, it's kind of like when the. Remember that episode of, I always think of it like this, that episode of The Simpsons where Marge starts hanging out with all the wealthy women in the neighborhood.
Right.
And she can't afford the clothing and stuff that they have. So she buys that one nice dress, and like, everybody's like so enamored by this dress, but then they make fun of her because she wears it a second time, and that's the tell that she's not one of them.
Right.
That's how I feel about show business. Oh, like, it's like you get that one
God
thing.
Damn it.
Yeah, and you go, oh, okay, I'm part of this. And then you show up to the party, and they're very much like, you're not part of this. You're just, you tricked us for right now.
Do you remember when you were in school and there were like cliques of people and you could tell they were talking about you? Like when you're like eighth, ninth grade, shit like that. Have you witnessed that with like adults in that setting?
Yeah, well, the really convenient thing that the showbiz folk of Los Angeles have figured out is to not hold themselves accountable for any of their own behaviors.
Aha.
So they don't even have to whisper about you behind your back. They'll figure out a way to do it to your face and then somehow make it look like it's your fault that they did it. Okay. So they're really a low bunch out here, a real low bunch of people. Disgusting. Oh. Disgusting people.
I can't. Man, I cannot imagine. And then, it's a double-edged sword. Here you are. There's so many of these rats that are out there. But at the same time, you're trying to make a buck doing this racket. It's fucking sick.
Yeah. I mean, look, my main reason to be out here is you know, I moved out here to expand things a bit on my own horizons. And,
right.
And it was really a good move for a little while. There was some, I got introduced into, you know, certain lines of work that I never would have stumbled into in New York. But now it's just about the, I feel like it's a rack now. We have no exit strategy.
Yeah,
I can't get
damn
out.
It. Yeah, it's like you got to formulate a plan. It's like a military engagement. You got like the Game of Thrones war board and how to get out of Westeros. It's just completely a mess.
Yeah.
Can you take me through? Because you play a great character on Better Call Saul, which is my favorite show. And
Thank you, and
you do a tremendous job on it. And can you take
Thank
me through
you.
how you got into that role? Because that's a great, great gig.
It is. That's a really nice one. I just auditioned and surprisingly got the part. I didn't think that I was going to get it because it was such a big show before it even came out. Everybody was talking about it, and I thought, you know, I was excited to go audition, but I was shocked that I even got the audition. And then, you know, you go in and
sure.
And you have fun and everything, but then you think, come on, man, this is going to go to somebody like, you know, much more notable than me.
Okay.
So I was shocked when I got the part. It was a great surprise. It was a huge surprise. And they are, truly a wonderful, bunch of people. Like they're, everybody from Vince and Peter, the creators, to
right.
to the cast, to everybody at part is the crew. Everybody, they're just a really, really welcoming group of people, and they function very much like a pleasant family. So it's nice. It's a nice break from the normal nonsense that you kind of encounter a lot of the times on a big show or something. And you know, I've been lucky. The shows that I have done have always been pretty pleasant experiences, pretty niche shows and pretty fun, you know, like Bored to Death and Louie and Inside Amy Schumer.
Sure.
And, you know, Better Call Saul. These are shows that are just, they're popular, but just far enough off the beaten path of the mainstream that they didn't, it wasn't like being on a set, you know, at
yep.
NBC or something where you're dealing with, oh, a whole other layer of
yeah,
corporate, whatever.
Damn it. My favorite thing to do is to talk about my favorite shows, and Better Call Saul is right up there. And when I meet someone who watches that show, it's like, all right, we're going to have to sit down for like an hour just to discuss it. And mm-hmm. The way they've developed the characters, I mean, Odenkirk is one of the nicest guys in the industry. I've only spoken to him once, but he seems just to be a affable, friendly soul. I think that show actually is better than Breaking Bad. I think that they anything that they may have done on Breaking Bad is more refined now. It seems like I just have an easier time with the entire cast of characters. There was a couple characters on Breaking Bad that I was not happy with them. I just didn't like. There were some that I was like, why are you even there? And I struggled with them. But I haven't found a one that I can't that bothers me on Better Call Saul. It's great.
Yeah. It's a really expertly executed show. And, you know, it's got a different, you know, Breaking Bad took place at a different time in this whole storyline, this universe. So I think the minutiae of each show is quite different. There's a common obvious tonality, right. Obviously tonality and whatever. But, you know, this does function like a prequel where I think it's a little more, it's a little smaller,
right,
in the sense of like the scope of it, you know, and the focus and where it's focused and stuff. But it's great. It's great to be a
really
part of it.
Everybody's
really nice. Yeah.
Okay. So now when you're here in West Michigan in Muskegon, Aaron Putnam, you guys are a great tandem. I mean, seriously, this is the thing to do in West Michigan Saturday night at Back Alley Comedy Club. You guys are going to kill this place. And it's a big-ass room, man. I'm telling you.
Good.
It's great. And so I'm really excited about the group of people that are going to come and see you guys. And, I mean, would you like to go over what you're going up against this weekend? Because there's some things in Muskegon you and I should discuss that you need to maybe...
No.
Okay, listen. Now listen.
I don't want to know.
Okay. First thing is the West Michigan Walk with Obesity.
Okay.
Now,
all right.
I don't know how you think you stack up against the Obesity Walk, but these
I should probably be on that walk. I could use to be on that walk myself.
I'm not sure when you get in town, Joe, but maybe that's something you could do. That's 8:30 in the morning Saturday. I don't know when you get into town, but are you?
It won't be at 8:30.
Are you and Aaron? Do you guys fly in together, or is it different parts of town?
We're driving.
Shut up. You are?
Well, we're only coming. Yeah, we're only coming about from 3 hours away.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
We're doing Chicago. We start in Chicago Wednesday, and then we go to a couple different cities in Michigan.
Yeah.
Three different cities in Michigan, and the last one is with you. And
nice.
And then we go back to Chicago for another show, two shows on Sunday night.
Now,
live podcast.
How did you? Wait a minute. Say that again about the podcast.
We go back to Chicago on Sunday for my live podcast.
Okay. I'm glad you brought that up.
Do two shows, yeah.
I'm confused on your podcasting because you've done so many. I don't know what's up, down, and what you're doing. But what is the one right now that's happening? Because, I mean, seriously, you were in with the early stages of podcasting. Can you take me through what exactly you're doing so people can check it out, please?
What am I doing right now? I do a podcast. The live one we're doing in Chicago is called "We'll See You in Hell," and it's a movie podcast.
That's the one that used to be on Fangoria, right?
Yeah, we started at Fangoria, which was really cool, and then Fangoria unfortunately folded, so the podcast network did as well. But now Fangoria has relaunched, but we were already gone and at another network, so there wasn't really the. I don't even know if they're still doing podcasts or not. But
anyway,
we started over there, and it's still going. And, you know, it's genre movies. So we talk about a lot of horror and sci-fi and, you know, John Wick and stuff like that.
Sure.
So we're doing two shows in Chicago. So we're doing Candyman.
Which is a Chicago-based horror film. I saw that movie. It was great. Fuck yes, man.
Yeah. So, and then we're doing a Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Oh my gosh.
Which is also based in Chicago.
Yes. And so do you like Mystery Science Theater it, or do you just talk about it?
We don't screen the movies at all. It's strictly a review show.
Okay.
So we'll discuss the films at decent length, you know, one per episode or one per show. And then we have other segments too, where we talk about other movies that we've watched, and I talk about cool products that are in the sort of realm of sci-fi and horror, like, oh, this is a cool new video game you should check out, or you know, this new graphic novel came out, it's really great.
Okay.
And, you know, so we try to cover the bases of, you know, fandom of what people like in that world.
Oh my God. You know? Yeah. I bet you that's a huge hit. Is this a paid thing? Is it Patreon, or is it,
on Patreon.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do people get it on Patreon? What would they search under? Just See You in Hell?
I think it's patreon.com/WCYHpod.
WCYHpod. Excellent.
Or I'm sorry, WS, excuse me.
We'll see you. WCYH pod.
WSYIH.
Oh, sorry, man. I'm an idiot.
That's okay.
pod. And that's patreon.com/WSYIH pod. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is terrific. And then people pay you a certain amount a month. You get to be able to check out these fandom discussions and things like that. That's all very, very cool.
It's like $10. Patreon's $10. You get the bonus episode every month.
Nice.
And then it's also out there for free. We're on hiatus right now.
Don't tell them that. Don't tell them that. No. It's all, you got to pay for it.
Okay. Well, yeah, you can get episodes at your podcast provider, but you sure. know, there's a bonus episode every month which for right now is the only way you can hear the show.
Yep.
Because we are on hiatus. That's the only thing that
okay.
goes
all right.
constantly, no matter what.
Are you a fan? Now, when you're talking about the genre, does a movie like The Avengers fall into that?
Well, absolutely. But we sort of did a superhero ban from the podcast.
I don't blame you.
Burned out.
Yeah.
We went as far as about Thor Ragnarok, and then it was like,
uh-huh.
We both were kind of like, dude, I can't do this anymore. I can't see another one of these fucking Marvel movies.
Right.
Like, I'm just exhausted. So that was the end of that. We just kind of stopped talking about superhero stuff after that.
The reason
there was a time when sure.
The reason why I bring it up is because I was late to the party and I just saw it last night, and it was seriously, I did not care for it at all. I don't.
New one?
Yeah, I didn't want to spoil anything.
I haven't even seen it.
It just stunk.
I don't care.
It was boring, dry. It was 3 hours long. It was ridiculous, and I don't know if I'm just getting old or I'm like you and just burn out of this shit. I've had it.
Well, I'm just kind of tired. You know, it's like, and again, I live in the belly of the beast, but it just makes me laugh that so much of Hollywood is chastising this awful consumer culture we live in, which I do agree with that notion, and the problems of capitalism and all this stuff. And then they turn around and you know, give $1 billion worldwide or whatever, you know, and celebrate this movie that is exactly that. It's like, can you stuff any more A-list actors into this thing?
Oh my
like,
God.
This is another example of the rich get richer. Like, it's like, but nobody seems to see that. Nobody seems to understand that. It's just, it's just so great because they put on a costume that I liked.
Yes.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, it's all nostalgia. And you talk about A-listers. Michael Douglas is in that movie for 15 seconds. Michael Douglas, of all people. 15 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, every single tiny little part is filled out by some huge actor. And it's like, guys, these are parts that used to go to up-and-comers. This is stuff that, like, a no-name used to be able to book, so they could make their way in. And I guess that's just over now.
Right.
Because,
on,
you know, it's like immediately everybody in this thing is it's just too much for me. And meanwhile, surprisingly enough, which is odd, you know, DC has this Joker movie coming out and the thing looks like fucking Taxi Driver.
Oh, I know. I know. It's very, very awesome looking. And that's Joaquin Phoenix. Is it not?
It looks awesome. I mean, I haven't seen it yet. It's not out yet.
I think, is that who's playing the part of the Joker, Joaquin?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. You're right. It does look awesome. Hey, did you see the movie, the Godzilla movie, came out? That's got to be up your alley, isn't it?
No, I like Godzilla. I thought the last one really sucked.
Oh, I loved it. It was so great. Come on. Oh, I was a huge fan.
I thought
fan.
It was really boring, and I didn't like Kong Skull Island either. I thought it was.
Oh man. Yeah, I'm a sucker for those, though. That's a thing. They make those movies for these schleps like me, who, you know, sat around because I was a latchkey kid and watched TV till my eyes fell out. That's why,
right.
You know, that's why I love it. So I can't be included in the conversation because I'm a mark, you know. So it's kind
no,
of
no. You didn't look. Godzilla's got a huge following. Yeah. I just don't like this latest version of it. But yeah, there's nothing wrong with that stuff if that's what you're into.
Sure.
I'm not trying to come off like some film snob.
No,
I have nothing against popcorn cinema. I'm just burnt out with the Marvel shit.
I got you.
It's just too much. It's yeah, like yeah. So But yeah, I'll check it out at some point. I'm just not going to go to the theater.
Right on. Well, look, man, yeah. You and Putnam, the fact that you guys travel as a tandem, it's great. You got him featuring, and probably mm-hmm. Ricardo will be your MC. He's awesome. You got a great club there at Back Alley Comedy Club, and then you're going to hit the stage. It all starts at 8 o'clock. People need to go to backalleycomedyclub.com and get like 10 tickets each to go see these guys. It's a big, big show, you know, in this neck of the woods. To get a show with as big a names as you two is pretty terrific. So everybody's really stoked about you guys being here, and you're going to smash it.
Great. That's great to hear, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, Joe.
If you can make it out to the show, I hope to see you.
Yeah, man. I got it all depends if I can get away. I got a couple things I got to do around town here, but then if I can get away in time, I'll come and say hello. I would love to do that.
Awesome, buddy.
All right.
Great to talk to you.
All right, Joe. Have a good, safe trip, okay? Be safe.
Thanks, man. See you.
Talk to you. Bye-bye.